You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. There was a scheduling change today that, as a result, I'm only going to have time to do a rather short show. So this will be a two-part show. I'm going to really make you aware of a breaking story, and that will change my recommendations or the people I'm putting on my short list for as presidential candidates that I could vote for in the November 2016 election. Donald Trump today, as expected, not today, but I expected this sometime in the next week or two, released his position paper on taxes. And if you go to the Donald J. Trump website, under the positions tab, you'll see and can get a copy of it. Now, what I've done on my, for new listeners, what I've done on my own notes, I provide you a lot of information, and this one is heavy with information. And the way you get to that, listen to the show as well as get to my notes, is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll see my picture with me in the studio, and underneath, 60 to 80 shows. Most recent shows, if you click on any of them, it'll take you to Podomatic and you'll listen to the show, or you can download it at your convenience. Most of my listeners listen to this show via podcast. Either they stream the podcast when they have time or they download it and listen to it when they have time. So even though the show's scheduled right now, I'm broadcasting live over the internet, most of the people, like 99.9999%, will listen via podcast. And hopefully next week, I'll get my regular spot back between 4 and 5 and can give a full hour show. So Donald Trump finally published his tax plan, and he has the goals of the Donald J. Trump's tax plan. Well, let me give you my reaction first. And I was disappointed, but not surprised. I was disappointed because Mr. Trump had the opportunity to really change and transform this nation and get it back on a growing economic growth path. The U.S. economy is growing today less than 3%. Historically, the rate of growth over many decades of the United States economy is about 3%, 3.1%, 3.2%, some studies even 3.3%, depending on when you start and when you end. But the long-run growth rate of the economy, and that's the growth of real gross domestic product, averages around 3% or a little above 3%. Unfortunately, over the last recovery, the economy has been stagnating. This is the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression, and the economy has been growing at between 2% to 2.5%. In other words, it's going about two-thirds speed. There are a lot of reasons for that that I won't get into, but one of the big reasons is our current income tax system. It is really a legacy system. It's over 100 years old, and it's time to abolish it. It's time to scrap it, put it on the junk heap, if you will, because we have technologies today that can dramatically improve the way taxes are both collected and make it a lot fairer for everyone, and also do away with tax returns completely, as well as let you decide when you pay the taxes. And the one of the reasons, and many people forget this, but I'm going to not forget it right now. One of the objections to the current income tax system, it's very invasive of your privacy. They just are nosy people. You have tens of thousands of bureaucrats in the IRS with over 75,000 pages of regulation plus the code. No one understands it. It's complex. And as a result, should you ever get audited by the IRS, they invade your privacy, and you have to disclose a lot of information that our founding fathers, if they were alive today, would revolt. So what does Donald Trump do? And this is what I was afraid was going to happen. In earlier shows, I warned him, beware of the people that are going to prepare your position paper on taxes. They all have a vested interest in the income tax code because most of them, that's what they know. At one time, I was very conversant on the income tax code. I had to be. It wasn't a choice because I was a financial planner advising people how to structure their financial affairs. And so I had to know and be up on what changes the code was making, what the regs were making. And that's one of the problems, one of the big problems of the income tax code. It's the uncertainty. And what I mean by that, if you're a business owner, you can't count on the current code being in existence for very long. And Donald Trump should know this. He was in real estate. He was in real estate in the 80s. He knew what happened to real estate in the 80s because of changes in the tax code. Yet what does he do? He joins what I call the tweakers. And he has a lot of company. And what I mean by that, and here's the problem with it, and I used to be a tweaker myself, so I know a lot of what I'm speaking of. They want to change the tax code here, there, and everywhere. They have their own ideas of how to make it better. And I was a member of that club. And then I saw something a little bit better, the so-called flat tax that Steve Forbes was a big advocate of. However, Steve Forbes, although he ran for president, didn't get very far. And the flat tax was a way to make tax collection simple by having one rate for everyone. Well, Donald Trump doesn't want that. He believes that we should have a so-called progressive or graduated income tax. Where did that come from? Where did the progressive income tax come from? Right out of the Communist Manifesto, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. I'm not for a graduated income tax or a progressive income tax. Everyone should pay the same rate, no matter how little they make or how much they make. That's fair. And then people have a vested interest in the system, in the country. But Donald Trump doesn't agree. Now, he does want to lower the burden of taxation on the middle class. I agree with the direction he's going. The problem is it's too timid. He's going to reduce the code to four brackets. And I know how he's going to try to sell it. He's going to say, well, if you're single making less than $25,000, you will pay zero taxes. That's the rate. And if you're a married couple filing as a married couple, that's $50,000. So if you're not making much money, you pay no income taxes. Now, let me say what he's missing here. And it's a big miss in terms of Donald Trump. But he's no tax expert. But if he talks to the American people, talks to the people that are in these lower brackets, in other words, members of the middle class, what will he find talking to them? They will tell him that by far the most taxes they pay is for what? They pay payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, and disability, as well as unemployment insurance. In other words, their greatest tax burden of the middle class is not an income tax. It's not. That's a fact. If you look at the statistics of the IRS that are published, usually last year's will be published this time, sometime in October. The bottom 50% pay less than 3% in taxes, less than 3%. In other words, it's really the top 20% that pay most of the income taxes. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. You can look at the IRS statistics. And you can see that over time, the so-called rich, the top one-tenth of 1%, are paying more and more taxes. They're getting hit hard. I'm not for taxing the hitting the rich harder. But if you really want to relieve the burden on the middle class, both the bottom 50% and really the bottom three-quarters, you got to do something about the regressive payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, and disability. And that's what the middle class would have told him had Donald Trump bothered to talk to him and think about it. Apparently, he didn't think about it. When you're a billionaire, you don't think about this. You could care less about payroll taxes. Well, I will tell you, if you talk to the people that work for you, Donald, they will tell you most of the taxes they're paying today are payroll taxes. So I'm not impressed with Donald Trump's proposal. Does he simplify it? Yeah, he reduces the number of tax brackets to 4. Because of time, I'm only going to give you the 10%. If you make between $25,000 and $50,000 and are single, you would pay a 10% tax rate, income tax rate, on that additional income. And if you're married, married filers, in other words, a husband and wife, between $50,000 and $100,000, you would pay 10%. Now, that's better than the current situation. And I would say that covers the bottom 50%. I could be a little bit off, but I'm pretty sure that that takes into account the people that are in the bottom 50% in terms of income and paying taxes. The 50% that pays less than 3% of their income in taxes. But that's what Donald is going to shout from the podium. I'm lessening the burden for the middle class. Blah, 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 blah. What didn't he do? He didn't really address the burden of payroll taxes. Now, what plan does that? And I'm not going to talk about the other candidate's plan, although I do refer to him. The leading competition against Trump are the three candidates that have a flat tax together with the one candidate that has a consumption tax, namely the fair tax. Who are those people? Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Ben Carson, and Mike Huckabee. They have better tax plans. They're for the flat tax. Flat tax means everyone pays the same rate. Rand Paul's addresses the regressivity of the Social Security and Medicare taxes. But this program is not about Rand Paul's tax proposal, although I probably will give one in the near future. So I'm disappointed. Now, what should have Donald Trump have done? And what could he have done until he announced this? Because I think this is going to hurt him bad. If you listen to the show, you know that I'm for limited government. And by limited, I mean you could cut the federal government by at least half, and most people won't miss the half you cut, except the bureaucrats and the people at work in Washington primarily. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is out-of-control spending and getting that under control. And in part two, I'm going to get into that. But what was the opportunity that Donald Trump really missed? Frankly, I think he missed it because he relied on some experts, whoever his tax guys are. It might even be just one person. You know, I'm a CPA. I didn't practice as a CPA, but I knew a lot of CPAs. I made many presentations to the local Dallas chapter when I was in the financial services industry. I'm retired from that industry, by the way. So I know how they think, and they have a lot of expertise, a lot of knowledge on the code, or at least parts of the code that their clients need them to be experts on. And their clients are paying money to comply with the code. That adds up. How much? And over $500 billion today are spent on compliance. That's a fancy way of saying filling out your tax returns and sending the IRS a check. That's a drag on this economy. It's a waste of money and time. But Donald Trump wants to perpetuate that. I consider his proposal why moving in the right direction. I want to be fair here. He is doing away with, my understanding is, he's doing away with estate taxes and gift taxes, which is good for the simple reason that very few people pay them and it doesn't collect very much money. You know, it clearly says the Trump tax plan ends the unfair death tax. Hallelujah. I agree with you. And he's reducing corporate taxes to 15%, and he's reducing capital gains tax. And again, I want to be fair, if you're in that zero bracket, you would pay zero on long-term capital gains and dividends. That's good. If you're in a 10% bracket, you'd pay zero. That's good. And on the other two brackets, starting at $50,000 to $150,000, it's a 20% income tax rate, 15% on capital gains. And then if you make above $150,000, and a lot of people make above $150,000, especially if you're a professional like a doctor, it's a 25% income tax bracket, but the capital gains rate is 20%. This is not simple, Mr. Trump. I'll tell you what simple is. You do away with all federal income taxes. You hear that? Do away with all federal taxes and replace it with a single tax. Let me say that slowly. Replace all federal taxes and replace it with a single tax. And I'll give you the details of that as a tease into the part two. Now, what could he have done? And this is what I'm describing with a slight modification as the fair tax, which is a consumption tax, also referred to a national sales tax. I object to calling it a national sales tax because the fair tax, as well as my version of it, the fair tax less, has a tax prebate. In other words, every adult would get in the mail every month a tax prebate to pay what? The tax on the necessities of life. That's what makes it really fair. It reduces the incidence of taxes on low-income people. On my fair tax less version of the fair tax, anyone making up to $60,000 would, in essence, pay no taxes. No income taxes and no payroll taxes. Why? Because every adult citizen, American citizen, would get every adult, not children, adults, no matter how rich they are, no matter how poor they are, would get a $1,000 check every month from the government to pay for the necessities or essentials of life, such as food, clothing, a roof over your head, transportation, and other necessities. So that offsets the tax that you would pay at the cash register for those goods. So in essence, although you would be paying a consumption tax, and it's 20% if you include it in the price of the good, such as a loaf of bread. If you buy a loaf of bread today, about 23 cents of that dollar loaf of bread is federal income taxes and payroll taxes. Well, all those are going to be abolished. In its place, replacing those would be a tax of 20%. That's the so-called inclusive rate. In other words, you don't pay anything additional that you're not already paying. Another way to look at it is if you take out the 20 cents from the loaf of bread, in other words, the price of bread excludes the tax, a $1 loaf of bread excludes the tax, well, then it's an 80-cent loaf of bread that you would pay 25% tax on, in other words, 20 cents. And that's important to understand because the critics of the consumption tax like to confuse people. Income taxes today are your income includes the taxes you pay the federal government as well your payroll taxes. That's why the fair tax is cited and quoted as an inclusive rate. An example that, to make the point, they're 3 feet to the yard. A yard is equal to 3 feet. They're the same thing. A 20% inclusive tax is equal to a 25% exclusive tax when you're excluding the tax from the price of the product. Now, I'm saying this to make a point. In my version of the fair tax less, anyone, any single individual making up to $60,000 would, in essence, pay no taxes when you take into account the prebate, the tax prebate. Why are you doing this? And what's the result? Well, one of the key results is this. Let's take the example of someone making $5,000 a month, $60,000 a year. Right now, deducted from that pay are Social Security taxes, payroll taxes for Medicare, as well as withholding. So at $5,000 a month, he's probably paying or receiving, he's getting somewhere about $3,300. That's just a guess. But he's getting a lot less than his gross pay. Now, if we go to a fair tax system, or what I call fair tax less, which you pay taxes as you consume, his paycheck is his gross paycheck, is $5,000. And should he spend everything, his total tax burden is zero. Now, if you don't make $60,000, make less, the burden is even less because you now have more money to spend. You see, Donald Trump doesn't go far enough. He ignores the biggest burden on the middle class today is not income taxes, it's payroll taxes, and he ignores it, doesn't address it. The consumption tax does, and it avoids having to ever fill out again a tax return. It means your paycheck, your gross paycheck is your paycheck. You have more money to spend. But more importantly, it gives you a strong incentive to save because you're not taxed until you spend it. Now, you're going to have to buy food, clothing, an apartment or a house or a car. Your spending habits are not going to really change that much. But now, here's the big advantage. None of your savings and investments are taxed. In other words, instead of paying 15% or 20%, everybody's savings investment is taxed at zero. At zero. You see, Donald Trump could have advocated a broad-based consumption tax, whether it's based on the fairtax.org's version of it or my version. Any version would be better than what he did. And here's the point that Donald seems to forget. The next time the Democrats capture the House and the Senate, what are they going to do? They're going to tear up Donald Trump's plan, assume it ever got passed. That's the problem with these tweakers. They don't seem to understand that any Congress can come in and change the system, but what could prevent them from changing the system? The American people, once they go to a broad-based consumption tax, will never want to go back to an income-based tax system ever again. They hate it now. It's too complicated. It costs too much money to comply with. And that causes an economic drag on the economy of at least $500 billion to $1 trillion. It costs a lot of money to do the tax planning and the research. So Donald Trump, as far as I'm concerned, he blew it. He really blew it, and he's off my short list. I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump because if you can't get the economic incentives right, Mr. Trump, you're not going to make America great again. We need to dramatically alter the economic incentives to save money, to invest money, to expand businesses, to create new businesses. That's why taxes are so important. If you can get economic incentives right, in other words, have certainty as to what the tax system is, and give a strong incentive for people to work, to save, invest, start a business, expand a business, that'll grow America at rates of 4, 5, 6% or even higher. So I'm not impressed with Mr. Trump's tax plan. I frankly think it's too complicated still. Why have four brackets, Mr. Trump? Do away with it entirely and let the people decide when they're going to pay taxes, when they consume. And if you're worried about poor people, and I am concerned about poor people, you give them a tax prebate. I don't see any prebates, and I don't see addressing the burden of Social Security and Medicare taxes. And you have competition. The flat tax is better than Trump's. At least several of them are. But the fair tax is better than the flat tax. I at one time was a big advocate of flat tax, and then I saw something better. And the something better was the fair tax. Apparently, Mr. Trump didn't do his homework. He relied on his tax advisors, and he got this abortion. And that's what it is. It's dead on arrival. I'll give you a little bit more details on his plan next show and go into really the economic advantages of a broad-based consumption tax, and there are a lot of them. You know, he wants to penalize, for example, corporations that have money abroad. I want to encourage them to come back and invest here, and that's what a fair tax less or fair tax consumption tax would do, because there would be no tax on labor and no tax on capital. Mr. Trump, I hate to say it, but to use your own words, you're a real loser. You're a real disappointment, and I'm not going to vote for you. Tear this up. Your only chance is to tear this up. Say you made a mistake. I know it's going to be hard to do. And come out for a fair tax or some your version of it. What you have now should be thrown in the wastebasket. That's how bad it is. I know you think you did something nice. Yeah, all the people that pay inheritance taxes will applaud. And yes, I think it's great you're cutting corporate taxes to 15%. The fair tax cuts them to zero. And I'll summarize that under a consumption tax, such as the fair tax or my version, the fair tax less, there's no personal income taxes, there's no corporate income taxes, there's no partnership taxes, there's no inheritance taxes, there's no alternate minimum taxes, and there are no taxes on capital gains or payroll taxes. And it works, and it's easy, and it doesn't have the compliance cost. And it says, instead, you come up with this disaster. If you were in my class in public finance, you get a D or an F. I don't care if you went to Wharton. Where'd you get these clowns that came up with this piece of junk? And that's what it is. And it's going to damage your candidacy. Oh, you can be specific now, but I'll tell you something. Your critics are going to savage you because this, you have revealed yourself as a big government guy because you didn't abolish the IRS, you didn't abolish the code, you didn't abolish Social Security taxes and replace it with something that's easier, fairer, for everybody, and that is the fair tax. With that, I have to close the show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com.